This is Scott Becker with the Becker Private Equity and Business Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by a partner from RSM, Rick Kess. Rick is one of our regular, most listened to guests. He's going to talk today about what trends he's watching in the private equity world right now. Rick, can you take a moment and tell us what are the key trends you're watching currently?
Yeah, Scott, you know, I think, you know, there's a couple things that we're really excited about, you know, looking at the, you know, kind of outlook for 2022. You know, I think we look at some of the infrastructure packages, this concept around build better, back better, you know, concepts around, you know, what kind of funding might come into the economy, you know, whether you're a construction company or potentially, you know, even a telecom company, you know, where could funding come into your business because of some of this new stimulus packages that are coming out. You know, I think that's a big area of emphasis. And then maybe that's the good news, and the bad news is, you know, the continued impact of, you know, labor and what labor shortages are going to do to businesses. So you kind of have a confluence of two things coming together. You've got, like, you know, excitement around what could happen with all this new money. And then you've got concern around, well, if we have all these new opportunities, how are we actually going to get the people to do the work?
And let me ask you this question. I saw one of the most fascinating headlines I saw this morning was Tyson Foods investing $1.9 billion in robots to try and automate more of their plants, more of their work processes, less labor intensive. Are you going to continue to see a flood of private equity money poised towards anything that automates things, software service offerings, AI offerings, other offerings, things that automate and technologically improve things that hopefully require less people to staff things? Is that just going to be a huge trend, or is this a bell ringer or bellwether of those kinds of things?
Oh, and yeah, incredible amount of opportunity there. I mean, you know, our firm, I think, is positioning itself from, you know, from a consulting and advisory perspective to say, you know, how do we help our clients implement that type of technology? And, you know, we think, you know, just broadly speaking, that there'll be a lot of companies that just, you know, whether they want to or are forced to, are going to have to think about things like that. I was on a phone call with a mid-sized private equity-backed healthcare portfolio company. They distribute healthcare supplies and other things. And they were talking about, you know, really the need for them to do a lot of what, you know, maybe Amazon and some of the other big players have done from an automation perspective around their warehouses and how to get, you know, product picked into boxes and on boxes into trucks, you know, almost without any human interaction, just because of the impact of the people being able to show up to do work. So, you know, I do think you'll see more and more opportunities, whether it's around, like I said, putting in robot technology and plants, or, you know, implementing technology to take out business processes that, you know, people maybe in the back office or, you know, kind of at the corporate office level have historically done.
And let me ask you another question. The professional services firms and the private equity firms, you see sort of professional services firms have traditionally, most of them, not all of them, have been relatively slow adopters of AI and artificial intelligence and technology that would take out the human element of some of the jobs. But now you see law firms investing like crazy in those kinds of things to try and accelerate that, to become not so people-centric and a little bit of a mix of people and technology-centric. I assume the same in consulting firms. How much of that trend are you watching and seeing go on at big consulting firms, at big law firms, big professional services firms?
You know, I think, you know, quite honestly, Scott, I think it's an incredible shift. You know, we see whether it's, you know, RSM or some of the firms like ours that we talk to, just to kind of get a sense of what's going on in the industry. And then, you know, we serve a lot of law firms and other business and professional services organizations, whether they're architecture firms or what have you. You know, we're all kind of challenged by the same impacts, right? We've got a lack of people, and we have an enormous amount of demand for our services, and every firm's feeling that. So, you know, I think there is a lot of work happening, you know, whether it's audit, tax, consulting services, that we are looking to say, hey, how do we make things easier? And it's not just because of talent either, that our clients are also demanding more on-demand like services and less friction in the system. So if it's something like, hey, we need a bunch of data from you to perform our work or to do our analysis, instead of us asking, someone to pull this data from their system and send it to us, they want systems that kind of get into the system for them, pull all the data we need, and no one is, doing that work on their own, not the client, not the professional services firm. It's all happening kind of behind the scenes using technology. So there's a lot of things.
But that's fascinating. But that's a fascinating perspective, because what you talk about the friction in the old days, which are currently still the same days and not too long ago, you called the partner, you called an associate, they had to call somebody, somebody has to get back to the client and stuff like that. And it's become different, very different than the consumer experience that people have in their outside lives with the Amazons of the world and so forth. And more clients want things on demand for seven to go through those different friction points. It's a fascinating perspective.
Yeah. I mean, I think the friction in professional services, that story you just said, Scott, and that happens in law firms, it happens in consulting firms, it happens in accounting firms, the same exact story, right? And think about the billing rates of all the people that have, to do all those calls, where if you just take away that friction using technology, workflow management, there's just tons and tons of tools to get that done. I can think of, for instance, a product that we support, ServiceNow, that really does a lot of workflow management work that people used to think is just like an IT ticketing system, but really it can be used for lots of stuff. We are using it within our national office. So when our firm has a really complex issue that we need to consult with our national office, we used to do what you just said, call the partner in the national office. They'd figure out who to get to. Is this big, long, drawn out process. Now we've got this ticketing system supported by ServiceNow that we go through and say, hey, we've got this issue, navigates the question right to the right person, gets it in their workflow, gets it back to us quickly, and removes a ton of friction in our process. So I think removing that friction out of your process is a huge thing. And there's just a lot of opportunities for, whether it's consulting firms to help their clients figure out how to remove the friction or how to figure out how to, implement new ways to get things done. There's a lot of work to happen to get that kind of in place.
In the business process outsourcing, or the business processes area, has become, I just saw a new fund raised around business processes. And there's so much money going after that, because all of a sudden there's an acceleration in these huge mega industries towards trying to improve their business processes and so forth. So it just is it's a fascinating evolution how quickly it stayed static for so long with minor incremental improvements, and now a huge amount of acceleration into it.
Yeah, Scott, as you know, I closely follow the healthcare industry, and I've always said in the last 2 years that the pandemic just changed everything, right? It changed our clients, our patients' minds to think about how to use telemedicine. It changed their minds around lots of different ways to use technology in their solutions. And I think it probably isn't isolated to healthcare. It's every business now. People are much more comfortable getting on Zoom calls. I mean, before the pandemic, how often were you on a video Zoom call? I mean, not very often, right? Now it's like 3 times, 5 times a day, depending on who you are. So, your ability and willingness to do things differently today is extremely different than it was 2 years ago.
And what's interesting is the law firms and consulting groups continue to do very, very well through this environment, but there is this great concern that if they don't keep up on technology, they fall behind their peer firms, their competitive firms. And so there really is this, while they're doing very well, there's this race to get better and better for fear somewhat of that the world will change more, that they won't, or they won't have the staff, or they won't be able to keep up or keep up with their peers. There's really a race to get better in this stuff in law firms, consulting firms, and accounting firms, isn't there?
Yeah, and I think the other, thing that we put a lot of focus on, so not only just, getting the technology to be able to do the work and get it done quickly and efficiently for your clients, but also, you are going to need a human element in there. And how does that human element interact with other human elements within your firm or your client base? So, you know, I think one thing that, you know, we've started to feel is this view of, well, if somebody gets another job offer at another firm, or, you know, something happens and maybe they're upset with one particular issue, they're less likely to stay around because their connection, their feeling of bonding with other people has changed as well. So, you know, how do we really push forward on that people engagement in ways that can be different? Because if not everybody wants to jump on a virtual happy hour at 4 o'clock on a Friday, right? So, you know, how do we think about how do we engage with our people and keep them, you know, really focused on what we're doing as a firm and happy working with us, despite the fact that maybe we don't have that human touch and element like we used to have?
Well, and that's a huge, huge subject in all these firms. In the old days, you had this connectivity, your work best friends, your work this, your work that, because you were in office with them all the time, or if you were in office with them, connect with them all the time in a very human way. And so now a lot of that glue is being lost as everybody works from home in their own remote environments and so forth. Anyways, Rick, I've got to wrap up with you today, but just magnificent discussion. This world of automation, how quickly it's moving forward in the face of all these different labor challenges, lowest unemployment rate in a long time, lowest jobless claims in I think 40 or 50 years came out this past week, 184,000 new jobless claims, the lowest number in 40 plus years. And so you have this huge incentive to automate, to improve technology on a whole lot of levels, and a lot of private equity funding going towards all these different solutions and problems. Rick Kess, partner at RSM. RSM is the leader in sort of mid-market private equity, and not even so mid-market anymore, very big today too. Big private equity also, but just a magnificent firm. Rick, thank you for sharing your thoughts today.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. Appreciate it.